All of us know the importance of being generous. All of us know the importance of giving to those who are less fortunate than us. But all of us have different reasons for doing so. Some people believe that it's part of being a good person, that if you want to be considered a good person, you must be generous. You must give to those in need. You must spend some of your income on charity. People of faith believe that being generous is part of God's command of us, that God commands us throughout the scriptures to give to the poor, to the hungry, to the lonely, to the afraid. We realize the importance of being generous. And we often see the rewards, the fruits of our generosity. All of us know the feeling of doing something good for someone else. It fills us with a sense of satisfaction and peace that we don't get from just meeting our own needs. All of us know what it's like to watch a child open a present on Christmas morning, to get something they really want and watch their eyes light up with joy and excitement. Yes, generosity can bring us and others a lot of peace and joy. But sometimes generosity doesn't always feel as good. Sometimes being generous can actually be very discouraging. You see, sometimes we're generous to someone else and we feel like our generosity isn't appreciated or our generosity isn't taken care of well. We might give to a charity or to a cause or to another individual and they don't say thank you. They don't seem very grateful and we wonder, did we waste our generous and kind act? Other times we are so overwhelmed by the needs of the world that we wonder if being generous makes any difference at all. If there are so many hungry people that we'll never be able to feed on our own, is it worth being generous? Does our generosity, when there is such great need in the world, really make a difference? But the truth of the matter is, if we're thinking in these terms, we've lost the meaning of being generous. We've lost what, as Christians, our true reason should be for taking care of the needs of others. And that reason is found in our scripture reading today. Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew. And they are the words of Jesus. And Jesus paints an image of what it will be like when we arrive in heaven. That we'll enter heaven and we'll meet Jesus. And the scripture reading says, Jesus will say thank you to us. Thank you for what, you might ask. Jesus will say, thank you for giving me food when I was hungry. Thank you for taking care of me when I was sick. Thank you for giving me clothing when I had no clothes. We'll look at Jesus and we'll say, what are you talking about? When did I feed you and you were hungry? When did I give you clothes when you were naked? When did I visit you when you were lonely and afraid? And Jesus will say to us, just as you did for the least of these, meaning just as you did for people in need, you did it for me. Jesus is essentially saying, when we provide for the needs of others, when we give to those who are less fortunate than us, we are literally giving to Jesus himself. Now, maybe like you, I've heard this scripture reading a lot of times, and until recently, I didn't really understand it. I didn't really fully appreciate what Jesus was talking about. You see, because when I give to another person, or I give to a charity, it was hard for me to imagine that I was actually giving to Jesus. I mean, I wasn't giving to Jesus literally. I was giving to a person in need. Or I was giving to a charitable organization or a cause. Where was Jesus in all of this? How was Jesus really a part of it? I couldn't get my head around it. Until about a month ago, our oldest son, Bradley, had to have his tonsils taken out. And it was quite an ordeal, all the things that went into having his tonsils taken out. First, over the summer, he had to see an ear, nose, and throat doctor. And the ear, nose, and throat doctor checked him out and saw immediately that his tonsils were huge, that it would be a lifelong chronic problem and that they needed to come out. Milton wanted him to get started with school first, get sort of in the rhythm of things, so he scheduled the surgery for October. But with the coronavirus, there was all sorts of precautions that needed to take place. He needed to have a COVID test, and he needed to have all these pre-appointments, and we got all these nurses calling us and giving us all these instructions about when he had to stop eating and what he had to do the day of. And then finally came his surgery, and we went in, and we met with an anesthesiologist, we met with the surgeon, and then the nurse was constantly talking to us about all the different things that would happen before and after the surgery. And then after the surgery was done, they came back in, and they gave us all sorts of instructions about things we were supposed to do and things we shouldn't do and what to expect and what numbers to call if we had any problems. And then finally, we went home. And I realized throughout this whole experience that all these people are in pediatrics, meaning they are in a profession where they seek to medically treat children. That's what they do. The doctors, the nurses, the anesthesiologists, all of them. But I realize that idea that they are treating children is misleading. Because at the end of the day, they weren't treating children alone, but they were treating children and parents. Through the doctors and the nurses, they weren't simply taking care of our son, they were taking care of my wife and I as well. Because my wife and I are so linked to our children, not only on a daily basis, but especially when they're in need, especially when they're hurting in some way, especially when they're vulnerable, that to take care of our child literally means to take care of us as well. Everything they communicated to our child, they communicated to us. And because we love our children so much, every good thing that they did for our children, they did for us as well. That's when I realized what Jesus was talking about in our scripture reading today. That when we serve the needy, when we serve the poor, when we serve the lonely and the sick and the less fortunate, we are literally serving Jesus himself. In the Gospels, Jesus promises to be with us for all time. And not only that, when we read the Gospels, we notice that Jesus paid special attention to the poor. Jesus paid special attention to the sick, the lonely, the forgotten, the afraid. Not because he loves them more than everyone else, but because they were the most in need. And just like a doctor treats those who are sick first, Jesus is with those who are ill or hurt or sick most profoundly. And if we are with the poor, if we are with the needy, God is with us too. It completely changes the way that we think about providing for the needs of others. You see, you are not simply doing something charitable or generous for someone else. You are doing it for Jesus. And if that's true, giving is not simply a good thing that we should do, but giving is actually an act of worship. Because you often think that worship is the thing that happens in Sunday mornings. That worship is the thing that happens when we go to our church buildings or these days watch church online, that we say some prayers, we listen to some scripture readings, we sing some hymns, and then we're done worshiping until next week. But Jesus completely changes the definition of worship in our scripture reading. Worship is any time that we give to someone less unfortunate than us. Because worship is interacting with God. Worship is praising God, glorifying God. And so giving is literally an act of worship. And I know what some of you are thinking still, that there's that issue, that detail about what about all those people who we can't help? What about all those people that we can't serve? What about all those needs that no matter how much we give, no matter if we gave everything that we had, we would never meet the needs of all the people around us? When I was in seminary, I did a one-year internship at a church. And this particular church helped with an organization called Foods Resource Bank. It was a pretty cool organization because they helped farmers all around the world learn better farming techniques so that they could grow food for their villages and their cities. And they had a mission statement that always stuck with me. And the mission statement of Food Resource Bank was a Christian response to world hunger. A Christian response to world hunger. See, what I loved about that mission statement is it didn't say a Christian solution to world hunger. It said a Christian response to world hunger. It recognized that their role as Christians were not to solve all the world's problems. That's up to Jesus. Jesus will do that in the end when he makes a new heaven and a new earth. That the responsibility of Christians was to respond to world hunger. To do something. Not everything, but to do something. You see, we as Christians are not called to offer the solution, to be the end-all, be-all of every problem. That's Jesus' job. But we all are called to respond. We all are called to act. We all are called to do something. Right now at our church, we're doing a winter clothing drive for veterans. We have the opportunity to serve those people who served us. And coming up soon, we are going to be doing our annual Giving Tree ministry. Our annual Giving Tree ministry, we buy Christmas presents for children in need. Children whose parents can't afford them to buy them Christmas presents. And even children whose parents are in prison. You see, we have the opportunity to give and serve all the time. And just because we can't do everything doesn't mean that we shouldn't do something. And if we give to the Veterans Clothing Drive, if we give to the Giving Tree Ministry or any other charitable organization or cause that serves people in need, remember, you don't simply give to those people, but you give to Jesus himself. So may you be encouraged to be generous. May you be encouraged to give to the needs of others, knowing that you don't have to do everything, but you have to do something. And may you know that when you give, you don't simply give to a person, but you also give to the person of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this opportunity to remember what it means to be generous and why we should be generous. That giving to the needy, giving to the less fortunate, first and foremost, is not something that simply that we should do, but first and foremost is an act of worship. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.